of Jesus, amen. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Dear saints, for this past week, and especially for the last few days, this is what this broken, fallen, cursed world has been preaching to us. Especially as creation has been groaning around us through Hurricane Florence. Look at me when I am talking to you. And of course, we can't help but. The winds and the flooding and the storm surge and the destruction and the loss of property and the loss of life and the fear and the panic and the uncertainty. There are forces in this fallen world that command our attention because they seem to command our ultimate fear and our ultimate confession of helplessness. Today, as we and many in our region have been looking at this storm while it is talking to us, we have a text from Luke chapter 7 in which death is preaching very much the same. Look at me when I am talking to you. And we see a dead man being carried out. And that the longer death commands us to look at it while it is talking to us, the more we despair, and the more we fear, and the more that we confess our helplessness. Our text from Luke chapter 7, the first thing we see when we see death is we see a man who had died and was being carried out near the gate of the town. And then we see that he was the only son of his mother. No more sons for this mom anymore. And then we see that she was a widow. That death had ripped her husband away from her as well. Helplessness and despair and uncertainty and fear are the result when death preaches the sermon, "Look at me when I am talking to you." But the Christian knows that sin, death, and devil are not the only voices that we hear that command our heart's attention. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, "In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son," the author of Hebrews says. Your Jesus says, "Look at me when I am talking to you." And our Jesus is commanding and inviting and assuring us today of his love and his peace and his victory. And he is doing it by speaking to us in these last days. And that he alone is the one that commands our ultimate fear and also commands our ultimate love and our ultimate and trust. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And we see Jesus has compassion. We see Jesus says to the woman, "Do not weep." We see that Jesus came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and that Jesus spoke to this man and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on this fallen world fixing our eyes on Hurricane Florence, fixing our eyes even on ourselves or on anything in this groaning creation, on sin, on death, on the sin of others, on the devil who is constantly preaching to us as well, that is the author of despair. And that is the author of fear. And that is the author of feeling helplessness. And it is also the author of being moved in on ourself, the ultimate selfishness. But fixing our eyes on Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And our hope and our compassion and our love and our peace. Jesus, who can defeat death with a word. Jesus, who awakens the dead as if they were simply in a light sleep. Jesus, who is not far removed from suffering. Be still, my soul, the wind and waves still know the voice of him who ruled them while he dwelt below. Jesus, who is not far removed from suffering, because Jesus came in the text and he touched the bier. He touched death. And more than that, he tasted death for everyone. The author of Hebrews says that Jesus tasted death for everyone, Hebrews chapter 2. The author of Hebrews says Jesus shares and partakes in flesh and blood so that through death he might destroy the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. Dear saints, be strong. Be courageous. Have no fear, little flock. The Son has set you free from the lifelong slavery of the fear of death. You are free indeed. What can man do to you? What can death do to you? If Jesus is going to raise you up with his word, he tasted death for everyone. For you and for me, everyone impacted by this storm, he tasted death for everyone that he created and everyone that he preserves. This text, the reason you're here today is because you know where your eyes should be fixed. You know that there are stories that are being told all around this world through creation. You know they're being told on the news, but you also know that the ultimate story is the one that your heart needs to be fixed on. And this is what this text does for us, that it fixes on our eyes the help that we have in the midst of helplessness. Luther says this text helps us see that there is nothing that Jesus cannot help, that this text works in us a courage, that all is not lost, that all is never lost. Jesus lives. Weeping may tarry through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Death is powerful, but Jesus is more powerful. Our sin demands an eternal payment, but Jesus has made it. Our debt has been paid. Jesus has compassion. Jesus speaks life to death. We fix our eyes on Jesus to strengthen our faith, and also we fix our eyes, and as he strengthens our faith, he also strengthens our compassion toward others. Our colleague said it this way, O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may be continually given to all good works that God has prepared for you beforehand. Good works, confident that God's grace is for our neighbor even before we go to him, and that God's grace is for our neighbor after we go to her, but also confident that God uses you to have compassion and to have mercy on your neighbor. In the coming days and in the coming weeks, we will have the opportunity to be given over to some good works to show our compassion to those who are affected by the storm. We'll likely take up an offering for the church. You can make payments online We'll use trusted resources that we know and love, like our district, or like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's disaster response. They'll be asking not only for our money, but they'll be asking for some time and for some energy as well as we are able. By God's grace, let us be given over to some good works to those who are hurt by this storm. But the collect goes deeper because it asks that God strengthen us with his grace that we may continually be given over to good works. Good works for you is an everyday opportunity. Husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and their children, good works in your workplace, good works for your family, good works for your friends, the people that you touch and know, the people that you see. May God's grace go before you and follow after you, and may God's grace work in you that as you are with them, you may be continually given over to good works. The opportunity for good works is continual. It's as continual as going before the people you see and coming after the people you see and then seeing the people that you see, for you love and you serve and you pray. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Fixing our eyes on his grace and his compassion and the opportunity to be continually be given over in a much smaller way to show the same. Look at me when I am talking to you. God be praised that he speaks to us. God be praised that he talks to us. God be praised that in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, and that when we look at him, we don't see the face of an angry God. We see the God who smiles upon us and is gracious to us. God be praised that as we look at him, he talks to us, and we can say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For what did my eyes see? My eyes have seen your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those that are able, please rise. Create in me a clean heart.